Hello, everyone. This is the D-Rays Bay Playoff Podcast Series, World Series, Game 3, Instant Reaction. Dodgers take this one, 6-2. Was not a fun one. I'm Brett Rutherford, joined by Danny Russell, as always, and Dominic Vega, coming on the Instant Reaction Playoff Podcast Series for the first time this month in October. So, Dom, I'll start with you. That was a sad one to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was tough to sit there and watch anybody inning, just nobody do anything offensively, and Morton just progressively seeming to get worse. But towards the end of it, he seemed to have a better outing when right before he got pulled.
Yeah, I didn't think he was terrible. I actually thought through the first two innings, even after the Turner home run in the first, that he looked really good. And then he just got hit a lot, and balls just didn't seem to find Ray's gloves. They were just the classic hit them where they ain't is what seemed to be happening. And ultimately, it just wasn't his best day out there. But Danny, Charlie Morton, I mean, I think after what he's done this postseason, and especially after what he did in Game 7, Rays fans had a lot of confidence in him to be the guy to come in there and shut any lineup down. That just didn't happen tonight. I mean, is there any reason to worry about him maybe in a Game 7?
No. I mean, Morton was so close to closing the gap on so many of these instances throughout the game that got away from him. Mm-hmm. And they were like two outs with two strikes, and then things would go awry. You know, that Turner home run that you mentioned, yeah, I'm pretty sure was a two strike, two out home run mm-hmm. to Justin Turner, who had himself quite a night, both on offense and defense tonight. If you're a Dodgers fan, I feel like you're calling that the Turner game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, looking at their side, if you're looking at this from the Dodgers' perspective, Turner and Mookie Betts, in terms of contributing in all aspects of the game, offense, defense, and on the base paths, I mean, they're leading the early, if you assume the Dodgers are going to win this series, which we don't, the MVP race. So, yeah, Justin Turner was great. But Charlie Morton, I mean, again, six strikeouts, one walk, one hit.
He locked it in. We saw him lock it in the second inning.
Yeah, he looked great.
We saw him lock it in the third inning. And then there was one pitch in the dirt that comes up and hits Seager. He gets on base. Turner's back up. He doubles. And then that's when LA starts to drive up the pitch count. We start talking about full counts. Mm-hmm. Muncy hits, I think it was like 108-mile-an-hour liner. Yeah. Just to center. It was a frustrating night for Charlie Morton, where you were so close to finishing and things would just not go the Rays way. Mm-hmm. And then he got pulled because really he was at 91 pitches and Kevin Cash is saying, okay, we're going to need you in 5 days.
Yeah. And at that point, we don't want to keep using the word punt because that's not what the Rays did. But after
I
Charlie
think Dom Morton, said it first. Dom, you were the first to say punt.
Well, okay, Dom.
Sarcastically.
So, Dom, what does punt mean in
means
game
Kevin Cash puts
series?
In the Z bullpen.
The Z bullpen. We're not giving those guys enough credit. They pitched well tonight, too.
They did. One thing I was going to add, though, about Morton is he got out of it in the fourth inning against Mookie Betts, and he had strike three. Mm-hmm. But the ump didn't see it that way, and that led to the fifth run scoring.
Credit to the umpire tonight, who I did not have to think about. It was a tight zone, and I actually think Morton responded to that tight zone after the first inning and started throwing his pitches accordingly. Maybe one borderline call here or there. That's the way I prefer it to be.
Yeah, that was the best umpire game I've seen behind the plate in, I think, any game we've played so far. But there was one instance where it was like, you wish you would have had that call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Before we move on into the Rays bullpen and kind of what happened in the later innings, I mean, we got to talk about who was opposing Charlie Morton tonight. Walker Buehler, absolutely incredible. Six innings pitched, 10 strikeouts, one walk, just one run on three hits. The guy that's been the last couple of years up there, if not better than Clayton Kershaw in this Dodger rotation, and he's going to be a Dodger for probably a long time. So thank God the Rays don't have to face him regularly. But he was great tonight. Guys, what were your thoughts on Walker Buehler's performance?
I mean, Jamal wrote a fantastic preview of what Buehler brings and how to beat Walker Buehler. And it was about a few different factors. One, that he's pitching hurt. He's been having blister issues. So that could be a complicating factor, in the same way that back issues were a potential something, mystery piece of the pie that we didn't know about. He wrote about how for his second pitch that he uses, it's either going to be cutter or curveball, and you need to figure out which one he's going to use, because that kind of dictated the style in which he was pitching. And then the third thing was that the Rays were going to rack up strikeouts, because that was how Kevin Cash previewed the game. He said, this is going to be a lot of strikeouts. And he was right. But the problem was, Buehler was so on tonight, he didn't need a secondary pitch. He was a one-pitch pitcher multiple times through the order. It was a fastball that was just untouchable.
Yeah, it was. And it was hitting the corners. It was getting up there to 99. Really unhittable. And Danny, you mentioned the blisters, but it's also, you know, he was dealing with the blood circulation issues too. With,
is that because of the pants?
Yeah, the tight pants. Sorry, I had to try to lighten this one up a little bit. We're a little down in the dumps. I know the pants joke is making the rounds, so not the first person to make that joke.
You didn't make that up? I missed that.
Yeah. But, yeah, Blake Walker Buehler was great, and the Rays are going to have to face him again in Game 7, if it gets to a Game 7. You know, we've still got Rays in 6 alive. But, I mean, if it's going to be – if the Rays are up 3-2 going into Game 6 – Walker Buehler probably shows up at some point in that game as well. So, Dom, any other thoughts on Buehler's performance?
Yeah, the thing that we didn't see Buehler at all when we faced the Dodgers 4 times last year.
Yeah.
So I feel like you could see that, because there were 8 at-bats tonight that he threw 3 pitches or less. Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest thing tonight was just seeing him for the first time.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I was saying, like, watching his outing, he looked incredible. And when, you know, some of the aces that the Rays will face in the American League – Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander, some of these guys that the Rays are real familiar with now, Chris Sale. You know, when you're watching a Rays game and you're watching every single pitch, you know when one of those guys is on. And I couldn't tell, like, is this normal Walker Buehler? Are we getting Walker Buehler's best outing ever? Like, I wasn't sure. I know he's been great for the Dodgers, but like the players, I think you know, fans and people watching the game, you know, I had no idea. And so
you know, 7, who pitching in this game was very well known and very familiar to the hitters? Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
Who has faced the Dodgers plenty of times.
Yeah.
Just not on the Rays.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get into Dom. Let's get into the Z bullpen, because I didn't appreciate that. No. John Curtis, Ryan Sheriff, Ryan Thompson, Shane McClanahan. They go 4 2/3 and give up just 1 run on 3 hits. They were great. And we talk about punting, and, you know, maybe that game at that point was not winnable or that winnable for the Rays. So you use these guys to eat up innings, rest your A bullpen. But those roles that they play, getting those out is still really huge. And they kept the Rays in the game. It was 6-2 by the time the final out was recorded, a 4-run game. That's not a blowout by any means. So I want to give a lot of credit to those guys. Ryan Thompson, again, before we get into analyzing these guys' outings, Ryan Thompson, I've talked so much about Ryan Thompson on the podcast, about when he made his big league debut, about how his dad got to get to the Trop to see him in his postseason debut. His mom was there tonight at the World Series, seeing him pitch in the World Series. I think Trisha Whitaker tweeted out the video of Ryan Thompson's mom watching and getting a little bit emotional and getting to cheer him on. And he pitched great. He has all postseason, really. And that was really cool. Ryan Thompson still at the top of my list for guys that I'll cheer for no matter what. And he was also really good tonight.
Fun fact about Ryan Thompson. The players at the end of the season went through the crowd, went through the cardboard cutout crowd and signed some of the cutouts. And my beautiful wife had hers signed by Ryan Thompson.
So did D-Ray's Bay's very own Jamal Wilberg.
His was signed by Ryan Thompson too?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's just signing the pretty cutouts.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
All right, back on target.
Yeah. Dom, let's talk about Shane McClanahan, who got the knife, and also a guy that we haven't seen a whole lot of, getting a chance to pitch in the World Series. Really huge for a young guy like that, and he looked great. What did you think?
McClanahan seemed like his best outing so far, command-wise, and he was hitting 100 a couple times. I was honestly impressed with him. But really, like you were just talking about, to me, Ryan Thompson was the most impressive guy of the Z bullpen. And I'm just calling him Z for jokes because it seems like Curtis is the guy who's taken over the slugger's role.
Yeah.
But you look at Thompson and you think he has some actual value here because yeah. I'm pretty sure the Dodgers in any level of minors have seen him maybe a couple times with the players that are up at the major league level.
Yeah, definitely. Any other thoughts?
Other than Curtis, too, to your point, Dom, the others only pitched one inning.
Right.
It's not like any of them are off limits tomorrow right. or the next day.
They're probably going right. to be needed.
And these are guys that are multi-inning guys as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, now that you have the off day, you're playing games 3, 4, and 5 on three consecutive days. There's a good chance that one of these guys, if not multiple, will be needed either tomorrow night or in game 5 on Sunday. So, yeah, really good to see them kind of get out quickly, get their 3 outs, keep a low pitch count. The Rays offense, let's talk about the one shining spot in the Rays offense tonight, or really just the one moment. Randy Arozarena, home run off of Kenley Jansen in the 9th inning, made it 6-2. It broke Derek Jeter's rookie postseason hits record, and Randy Arozarena is now on a list of 4 or 5 batters who have 8 home runs in a single postseason, most all time. So Randy,
right, it's the Barry Bonds list. Barry Bonds is one of those names.
Yes,
Barry or players Bonds. With home runs in the postseason. If he hits another home run, he stands alone. He would have yeah. the most home runs in a postseason in the history of baseball. Randy Arozarena, you magnificent bastard. You hit a 397 and a 405-foot fly ball. One of those were home runs. Mm-hmm. And I so desperately wanted it to be both. Give me this, you know, if the Rays are not moving on. How great to have Kenley Jansen called in.
Yeah.
I love that he actually got used in this game. Even though there was quite the lead. And maybe that's just a function of their bullpen and needing to rotate which pitchers were pitching. But then also how great to punish him. Mm-hmm. Way to go, Randy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, great stuff.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You talk about the Dodgers bullpen. I mean, I thought the recipe for this game would be get a couple off of Buehler if you can. You need to have a great pitching night and then really start to add runs and get in business when the Dodger bullpen comes in. So they used Trinan and Gratterall and Jansen, and besides that one pitch to Randy Arozarena, all three of those guys looked really good. That was the only time a Rays hitter reached base against those pitchers in the last 3 innings. That was a little, not worrying, but something that I can look back and like, the Rays could have been able to get to these guys. These aren't as shut down as Anderson, Castillo, Fairbanks. But it's just one night. The game was kind of out of reach. Before we move on to talk about like how this game sets up the rest of the series, the last 4 potential games of the series, I do want to talk about G-Man Choi, who again put on a defensive clinic. Mm-hmm. At first base, one day after not being named a finalist for the Gold Glove in the American League. Kevin Kiermaier also left off.
Willie Adames left off.
Mike Zanino yeah. left off. Kiermaier was probably the one we could have the biggest gripe about. We could do an awards podcast after the postseason, but I want to talk about G-Man Choi tonight, making huge plays to save the throws by Joey Wendell and Willie Adames. He's been doing it all postseason. Those guys owe him a steak dinner or 2 or 3 with all the throws that he's been. And they've been making great plays to get those throws over there, but he has been killing it. And without getting too off topic, not getting into the offseason roster construction, but if there's still a decision to be made between Nate Lowe and G-Man Choi as to who you want being your everyday first baseman or the guy that's going to pick up most of the innings at first base, I was pretty like neutral besides like loving G-Man Choi, that like Nate Lowe and G-Man Choi, I kind of saw them as virtually the same player. the defense that we've seen out of G-Man Choi in the postseason now, in my opinion, puts him miles above Nate Lowe. And whatever it costs in arbitration to keep him there next season over Nate Lowe, that's a decision the Rays need to make. They've got to keep G-Man Choi. If they were to move on from him and to try to save $100,000, that would be very disappointing for me. But I don't know what your guys' opinions are on that.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, the bat hasn't been all that impressive, but that to me goes to the case of Adames, where the defense is far outperforming the bat, and the value is just too hard to deny right now. And for me, Lowe is a situation where he needs playing time for his bat to be at its best, and you saw that towards the end of the season. But I think Choi, we've seen what his bat has done in the past, and if he's slumping right now, that may not be indicative of what his actual bat is. Plus, you have the whole silly season that this is. I'm not against keeping him around for one more year.
Yeah, I mean, and look, he's in the American League East. You got to keep G-Man Choi for as long as Garrett Cole's pitching for the Yankees to hit off of him. But I just really liked what I saw out of him. Not only was he making, like, he did a full split. We've seen him do,
he did in the first inning. Yeah, he did the full split in the first inning, which is just showing off at that point. That's Choi being upset that he wasn't nominated for a Gold Glove.
Right.
In the second inning, there was that odd play at second base where Brandon Lau had to field and then turn and burn very quickly, and the throw was slightly off, and Choi gobbled that up. In the fourth inning was when he had to leap to catch an errant throw by Wendell, and then he comes down, and I think he gets Taylor in the face with his glove or knocks his helmet off. That was a fantastic moment. It was after the floodgates had kind of opened, but still just great to work to keep the Rays in the game. And also, the plays he didn't make were also just impressive. Them showing the slow motion replay of him leaping for a ball that just went past his glove. The whole time, I'm just thinking, like, wow, this is G-Man Choi peak performance in terms of defense.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, so talking about game four in the rest of the series. The Dodgers have a 2-1 lead. And now game four is another one that really from the outset we all kind of saw as a game the Rays have a really good chance in terms of how the pitching is going to line up. So it looks like it'll be mostly a bullpen day. I think Julio Urias is going to start for the Dodgers. Don't know how long they're planning on letting him go. Maybe he acts as a full starter. And it sounds like Ryan Yarbrough is in line to pitch the bulk of the innings in game four for the Rays. Don't know if he's going to start. Don't know if he's going to come in second. But that should be how it lines up, depending on how the game pans out. Dom, how confident are you in the Rays and the Rays pitching staff to be able to put up a really good fight tomorrow in game four?
I am as confident as I could be, because you have your A bullpen ready for games four and five. Then you have the off day. And if you want to go conspiracy theory and say Kevin Cash is playing for how many games in a series, you have a possible off day for the Z bullpen on game six to line him up for a game seven. And so I know that's looking really far in the future, and you still have to win the games that you're responsible for, but we are set up as good as we can be considering we're down 2-1 in the series.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Also, though, looking at the games, I really liked the Rays in game two going into that game. They won that one. I really liked them in game four and then again in game six with Blake Snell back on the mound. You then, like Danny mentioned, needed to not steal a game, but win either game three, game five, or a potential game seven. And now that you don't, you make it a lot tougher on yourself. Again, the series is not over by any means, but you make it a lot tougher on yourself.
But that's still the blueprint to a Rays win of the World Series, right? Game two, four, and six are the Dodgers bullpen games. Mm-hmm. And you have to come out on top of those. Right. Otherwise, you're having to best Kershaw and Bueller multiple times. So you're going to face Kershaw twice and Bueller twice.
But now they have to.
You can take one of those and win the bullpen games. Then you're doing something. But as Dom said, now we've seen them. Mm-hmm. Now you've seen what Kershaw has to offer. Now you've seen what Bueller's fastball looks like. Hopefully that changes things for a second meeting later. But in the meantime, I would not anticipate winning both of those matchups. So it does make tomorrow feel, I'm going to say it again, must win.
Yeah, Yeah, no, I'm going to allow you to use those cliches. I think they're warranted. It's the World Series. Yeah, I mean, winning tomorrow sends you into Game 5, where it will be Kershaw on the mound versus Tyler Glasnow. Okay, it's late again, so making sure I got that right. That's a game that, I don't know, I feel kind of nervous about.
You're going to get the best out of the Rays tomorrow and on Sunday. You're going to get the best the Rays have to offer. At this point, there's nothing for Kevin Cash to hold back about.
Right.
The A bullpen is on its way for sure. The full stable is going to be available. You're going to get Ryan Yarbrough is the weakest link right now at this point. Ryan Yarbrough is a fantastic fourth pitcher.
Yeah.
So weak is an insult. It's just more it's more a reflection of the quality of the three starting pitchers the Rays have.
Yeah,
maybe there's an opener, maybe not, but Ryan Yarbrough needs to be on, and the stable genius Kevin Cash,
I've got the t-shirt,
we'll have his opportunities here. We're gonna see what the Rays have. This is their moment, and the Dodgers are a really freaking good team.
They are
Mookie, and we'll see what happens. I mean, that so at this good. Point the Rays have to show up.
Yeah, and honestly though, let's look at this, let's wrap it up on this. Ryan Yarbrough, assuming that the Rays fully see tomorrow as a must-win game, and they're in the game, it's either tied, maybe they have a slight lead, maybe they're even down a run. Ryan Yarbrough does not have to get you that deep into the game before you're willing to turn it over to the A bullpen. Because now what we've seen in the postseason, for the most part, each of, well, really just Anderson and Fairbanks can get you more than just three outs. They can go two innings. So assuming that all those guys are fully rested, none of them have pitched in the last 2 days, how deep does Yarbrough even have to get you into the game before you're turning it? Would you bring those guys? I mean, we've seen him bring him in the third. I don't think you'd see that tomorrow, but maybe Yarbrough gets innings 2, 3, and 4. Then you turn it over to the bullpen in innings 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 and piece it together. Would you guys be shocked if that was kind of the game plan going in?
I think if Yarbrough goes behind an opener, which I am going to guess is what's going to happen, you can get Yarbrough through the fourth inning, and then you can start to piece together that A bullpen. But you can still rely on guys like McClanahan, Curtis, if you want to use him. Mm-hmm. I still think that Cash has faith in those guys. And it's not that they're part of any lesser bullpen. They can be just as effective against the bottom half of the order. It really just depends on, is Yarbrough going to be the best number four pitcher you can find, or is he just going to be a number four pitcher?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay, so this is kind of going to be obsolete by the time people listen to this, because it's probably going to be announced any second now. Assuming there's an opener in front of Yarbrough, who do you guys expect it to be?
Thompson.
Ooh, I like that. Interesting.
I feel like that fits what Kevin Cash has done as well. We know that Thompson can go multiple days in a row, so I don't hate it. I think Cash would rather have Fairbanks, Anderson, Castillo available out of the bullpen. Counterpoint, he's shown a willingness in the playoffs to use the three of them when the game is tied, and a 0-0 start to the game is a tie game. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe Castillo is out there.
Say it, Danny. Say what tone setting. It sets the tone.
I think it sets the tone.
yeah. Okay. Well, this was kind of like, I don't know. I feel down. It was a 6-2 game. It kind of felt out of hand early on, but
this game was never ours to start with. Come on.
I hate saying that though. I hate saying that. It's back to game one. You know, a couple hits go the other way. This is a close game.
Man, game one felt so much closer to me than this game.
Yeah, I agree. But, well, breaking news right now. Ryan Yarbrough starting game 4.
Oh, good for him.
There we go. Getting a
start. I am happy for him to have that experience.
It always breaks, like, right when we wrap up the podcast, to, like, just how it times out. But there we go. So we had that discussion for no reason. All right. That's going to do it tonight for the World Series Game 3 Instant Reaction podcast on the D-Rays Bait Playoff Podcast Series. Thank you to Dom for hopping on, making his debut. And thank you to Danny, as always, for joining me. And thank you guys for listening. If you want each of these episodes downloaded directly onto your device, make sure to subscribe to our podcast feed. And make sure, as always, to head on over to deraysbay.com to check out all of the great coverage from this 2020 postseason run. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
G-Man Choi's walk-up music while the Rays are the home team in the World Series is his name being chanted from the previous playoff appearance. It's just G-Man Choi's name being said over and over again.
This has gone way too long.